This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Lori Fast takes your pet behavior questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Pet Talk. My name is Lori Fass, and if you are a regular listener to the show, you know that this particular program alternates between myself and Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. My area of expertise is behavior, so I usually have people call in if they have a question about their cat or their dog or something behavior related, but I was kind of inspired to get a guest today. And so I have a guest who's Liz Bennett. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
and Liz was on the air. When were you on the air before? It was a long time ago.
Oh, jeepers. It's been a couple of months.
Oh, yeah. No, it was more than months.
With you?
It was years.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago. It was
with
literally
you?
Years
yeah.
ago. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I was off the air for 18 months because of COVID.
Oh, wow.
So it had to be more than 2 years ago that you were on the air.
Wow.
And when you were on the air before, you were doing dog rescue mostly cat rescue. And the reason you're on the air today, not that I wouldn't have had you on the air anyway, but specifically you're on the air because you've kind of made a transition from doing your dog rescue stuff to being a wildlife expert and rehabilitator.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So that's kind of different. So you told me, I mean, before you were just Bandit's Place, you know, dog rescue. What did you say you call yourself?
We are Bandit's Place Animal Rescue and Wildlife Rehabilitation Center.
Okay. So,
so we do both.
You said that you kind of connect people, maybe like a dating service, I don't know, with dogs, but you don't take them in. You're not as active with that.
And not with the dogs.
You take in farm animals.
Right, we do more of a farm animal right now and wildlife rehab.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. And so I was actually trying to get somebody from the DEP to talk about animal wildlife. They are hard to get a hold of.
They're a bit busy right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Busy,
right now
busy,
it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
So, you know, I thought to myself, well, you know what? They're not calling me back. Let me call Liz.
Let's call standby.
It didn't even occur to me to call you. And then I said, well, wait a minute. Let's call Liz. You can deal with this. So the reason that I thought it would be great to have you on the air is because certain things come up all the time. I was mentioning to you, this is when Dr. Dennis was on the air, but we had a caller that said he saw a fox in an intersection and it was the middle of the day and he was really freaking out. Okay. And I've had people say things to me or ask me questions or make statements that are like, ew, you know, these are kind of wildlife pet related questions. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, especially now that it's springtime, you know, maybe we should discuss some of these things, both from the point of view of understanding the wildlife better and then also understanding pets' interaction with and people interaction with wildlife. Yeah. And, you know, I'd say that when people encounter wildlife, it usually falls into one of two categories. Category number one is, oh, the poor little baby. We're gonna snuggle and take him in.
I gotta have it.
We've got to pick him up and bring him home. He's helpless. He needs help. Oh, and then the second one is panic. And, oh, my God, something horrible is going to happen.
Yes.
So since, you know, the thing that I had brought up first was the fox guy, the guy who called and he was really upset about the fox. Yeah. Let's talk about that first is, okay. You know, people panicking.
Yes.
So let's say you were here and the guy called in and said, I see a fox. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and he's in the middle of the intersection. What are you going to tell this
guy? Enjoy it. It's a wicked cool sight. Actually, I just had a call from, as I was coming in, I had a call from somebody who said, oh my God, there's a fox in the backyard. What do I do? And I said, count yourself blessed that you've been able to see this animal. So it basically, all right, so fox in particular, you're going to see them out at any point in time right now because both mom and dad raise the babies. So if mom's sitting home with the kids, dad's out looking for lunch. If the only time you're going to get your favorite meal is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to be out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It does not matter. We do the who, what, where, when, why. And the when part of when you see these animals, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. During baby season, these animals are going to be out at any point in time that they can get food because they have kids to feed. And if you have kids and I have kids, we both understand that when we go grocery shopping and we come home, that truck is cleared out before it even hits the refrigerator. And it's the same with wildlife. They've got babies to raise. So they're going to be out at any point in time. Out in the intersection, okay, that's not so great. It's not so great for the fox, but he's probably crossing the road to somewhere because
maybe a little confused.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got to go to the nearest dumpster at Dunkin' Donuts because we've so habituated these guys to dumpster diving that, you know, this is what he's going to do. So, I don't know.
So, just because you see a fox or you see a raccoon or you see, I don't know what other things. I think I have fisher cats in my neighborhood.
Okay.
And the reason I think that is, I'm so stupid. One night I was outside walking my dogs and I heard this really, I can't even imitate, weird sound.
And
I thought, oh, an animal is hurt. Oh, boy. So then I bring my animals in, and I'm looking for this hurt animal, and I keep hearing this sound. And then it kind of dawns on me, you know, like, I don't think so, Lori, you know. And then I look up fisher cat noises.
Yeah,
that's what
they
it was.
Will sound, some animals sound like you are murdering a woman.
Yeah.
It's a blood-curdling, like, wow kind of thing.
My theory on most wildlife is they just want to live their life. They don't care about you. They would rather not have anything to do with you.
And they're not going to... domestic animals are kind of not so smart. Wild animals are not going to fight to the death in 90% of the cases. They're not going to fight to the death because their survival depends on their physical health. They're not going to enter into a fight where they could lose or become seriously injured because that's going to interrupt their survival. It's really going to take a toll. So they're not going to go in going, hey, let's do a suicide, you know, kind of stuff.
Let's just
go
mess
fight
with
something.
You.
Right.
Just for the heck of
they're
it.
Not going to do that. They're going to do that if an animal decides to become aggressive towards you. There are reasons. You are in the middle of their baby season. You're too close to their den. But they're not going to attack you in the sense that they're going to draw you out to a fight.
So the fox that's in the middle of the intersection isn't going to cross and, okay, that's it. I'm going to chew up your children now.
Oh, and they don't go for kids. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. They don't go. Unfortunately, people have this, you know, it's like telephone. You know that? You know that story?
Yeah, you tell a story to somebody else.
And it goes, and boy, I'll tell you that the stories that can come out of this stuff is amazing. This innocuous fox that just happens to be hanging around because it's time to eat and you have, you know, empty trash containers outside to, oh, this fox is trying to come in the house and kill my children. No, let's go back to survival.
Well, I heard, and I don't know if you would bear this out or not, because, you know, I hear a lot of weird things. but I heard that it's often the case that foxes will prefer to try to stay a little closer to where people may be avoiding coyotes.
Yes, they'll stay on the fringes of the coyote territory because they are, obviously, coyotes will, if, and there's the thing we use, opportunistic. These animals are opportunistic. If the fox is living under your shed because it's a good opportunity for him to live there because he's close to your garbage pail, or, you know, it's farther out from where the coyotes are going to be, then that's where he's going to be.
Yeah.
If they live on the fringes of the coyote territory, okay, that's the safest spot he's going to do. Opportunistic survival.
And foxes are kind of small, so I don't. I mean, I look the stuff up on YouTube, which can get you in trouble, right? But I was trying to see.
Because everything on Facebook is
well,
is
anything
true.
That's worth knowing is on YouTube. People say, oh, well, I've done training videos on YouTube. And every once in a while, they come across something that, well, actually, that wasn't a bad idea. But a lot of times, it's just like, oh, boy, here we go. But anyway, I was looking to see if there were any things about foxes hurting cats or going after dogs something like that. And according to the YouTube videos, no, they weren't. So what would you say about that?
Foxes' main diet is rabbits, mice, voles, little guys, little nestling birds, whatever. Uh-huh. Whatever they can get to, they're going to do it. You were talking about coyotes now. We're a little bigger in the food chain. They will go after cats.
Yeah, but
this
I don't
is why
think
we say
foxes will.
No, fox is not going to go. A fox is not that stupid.
Yeah,
the cat has claws. He's not going to go after that.
So foxes pretty much are not going to be a threat to your pets.
No.
Or to your children.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
And now suppose a fox maybe has rabies. What are we going to see here?
If a fox has rabies, generally speaking, rabies in fox, they become extremely aggressive. There's two kinds of rabies. There's the dumb and the furious. The dumb is where they fall over. They look like they've been hit by a car. They can actually mangle themselves. They'll start to bite themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They look drunk. They look, you know, very uncoordinated. Furious is when they get this sadistic look in their eye, and they're just going to come after you.
Oh, boy.
And there is nothing going to. They've attacked grills of cars. I remember crossing the road, or a raccoon was crossing the road, and I happened to toot the horn, and the thing came up and tried to bite my grill.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so that's a furious rabies. They're going to chase you down.
A raccoon
and
was
find
crossing
it.
The road.
There
that
you go.
Sounds like a joke. But this doesn't sound very funny.
No, but the fox generally get more of a furious kind.
Oh.
So.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. So that's how the rabies virus might manifest itself.
Right.
It's not
right,
two different types of rabies.
No, and you can flop between the two. But generally speaking, certain species will go towards one or the other. I'm not saying that you're not going to find a dumb aspect of the rabies within a fox, but if you see a fox and it's really acting weird, this is something.
Okay, so just standing there. Yeah, have a conversation.
Why would you go up to it? Why would you go up to any wild animal?
I don't know. I have no idea. Okay, I think we need to go to a break. I know we have a caller and we can get to them when we get back, but we need to go to a break and we'll be right back.
Preacher's got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, a pause, or anything they got. Now all of us, preacher's got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud.
Hello and welcome back to WTIC's Pet Talk. You're listening to the Behavior Edition with Lori Fass and my special guest, Liz Bennett.
Hey!
Who is here to talk about wildlife. And I know that a lot of people have concerns. And so she is here to answer questions if somebody wants to call in. 860-522-WTIC. And we have a caller. It's Ann, and we'll see if I can help her. I'm not sure. We'll see. Hi, Ann. Hi, Ann. Oh, we're not getting Ann. Hi.
So it's really not a behavior question so much. So I have a 12-year-old lab who was recently diagnosed with mega esophagus. So we've switched. He had a couple of bouts of pneumonia, which seemed to be cleared up, and we've switched to like a canned dog food and trying to keep him elevated while he's eating. So it's better, but not great. We're debating whether or not to put him on, I think it's called Sisapride. And I was just wondering your thoughts, because I've
Okay, well, okay, and let me just say this to you, and you may already know this because you kind of commented on it. You do know that this show alternates between myself and the veterinarian, Dr. Andrea Dennis?
Yes.
Okay. So you're asking me a question about a medication, which sometimes I'll even try and take a go and make a guess in anyway, which may not always be the best advice. The particular medication that you're talking about, I've never heard of it before.
Okay.
But just in general, I would say to you that a lot of medications have cost benefit. In other words, the cost is greater than the benefit. It has side effects. It has a lot of causes uncomfortable things with the animal, and it's just not worth it. And then sometimes the benefit, even though there might be some side effect, is well worth it. And so the cost-benefit situation is something that you need to address with your veterinarian. So I don't know what this drug is. I don't know what sort of side effects you might have your dog experience with this. Some medications cause other problems. They cause digestive problems. They're damaging to the liver. They could, you know, cause other issues. So if your animal is otherwise healthy and the risk involved in taking this medication is not greater than the potential benefit that it's going to offer, then based on just that general idea, you know, I would try it. But the specific medication itself, I don't know what it is. And I certainly couldn't tell you any experience I've had with it, because although I know what the megasophagus thing is, where dogs' throats are just not, they're damaged, they're not swallowing. That's why he has to be up when he's eating and it doesn't go down and that kind of thing. So I don't know. I'm not familiar with the medication. If you wanted to ask another veterinarian opinion, you can call in next week. Dr. Dennis will be on there. But in terms of any sort of medical intervention, whatever, you know, I'm dealing with something with one of my own dogs, and it may come down to a cost-benefit type decision, okay? But that's really what you need to look at. What are the side effects? What are the downsides? If they're minimal, even if it's maybe not going to work that well, or we don't know if it's going to work until you do it, because a lot of things you don't know until you do it. But if the risks are minimal, then why wouldn't you try it?
Right. Okay. I guess I'm just having trouble. He's a big dog.
Yep.
Getting him to eat in that upright position and then to stay in that upright position. So.
Well,
if
you have anybody who's handy with building stuff, you can build him a little, like, sort of like a
high chair.
Like a high chair, yes, exactly. Like a high chair. I've known dogs that they fit in an actual high chair.
Right, yeah.
But you could have him, you know, you'd have to have somebody help you build this, depending, he might not fit in just a, you know, kid high chair. But so where his, you know, he's surrounded by kind of a tray, and he's sitting there, and his head is kind of up, and he really can't lower his head.
Okay, I didn't think of that. Okay.
Yeah, so the dogs that I've known that have had this condition were eating some sort of high chair type contraption. So.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you for the info. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, I'm happy to be able to help.
All right, love your show. Thanks.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For calling. Bye-bye. Well, I didn't think I was going to be able to help her at all, but I had some ideas.
There you go.
Okay, so we have to just be mindful of the time, and it's... what we're talking about, I think, is really interesting, but, you know, so I don't want to get too carried away here. But we were talking earlier about people being afraid of wildlife. And so we're kind of talking about what kind of things we need to watch out for. And fox in general are not particularly threatening. All right. But coyotes maybe are another category.
Nope. Honestly, all wild animals just want to be wild. They don't want human interaction. They just
but they
want
might
to be
want to
wild.
Eat your cat for lunch.
Oh, this is true.
Right? I mean, I hear horrible stories about coyotes. I mean, I honestly. And
you
I,
know what? I read a book, and it was called, I want to say it was Howling, something Howling. It was by a guy who had gotten his doctorate, and he did a study on coyotes out in Cape Cod.
Okay.
And it was the most incredibly enlightening book I've ever read on
sounds
coyotes.
Worth researching what that book is. I'd like to read that book.
And I'll get it for you later.
Okay.
But it's a fabulous book, and it studies the life and the socialization and the workings of the coyote pack.
Uh-huh.
And family, and basically they want nothing to do with people. They just want to be coyotes. But if you're going to throw them a filet mignon in the size of a cat, they're going to take
they're gonna
it.
They're going to grab it,
yeah. A little dog, little cats. This is why we tell people keep your pets inside, especially dusk and dawn.
Well, there was something that I had seen years ago. I talked about it on the air, and it's still out there. It's kind of funny. It's called a coyote vest. And it's like,
oh, I saw
have you
that.
Seen that?
Oh, please. Oh, please. I saw it. And let me tell you, it does absolutely nothing.
Well, it has all these spiky things.
Right. It does
It looks
nothing.
Like some sort of, like he's going to go to some sort of heavy metal band
I
concert
know.
Or
it
something.
It makes your dog look somewhat cool, but it's really kind of dorky.
Well, it's got all these things sticking out of it.
It looks like a porcupine.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Awful.
So you don't think that would,
no.
You don't think that would work?
No.
No.
Crying out loud.
Well, I don't know.
Oh,
I mean,
jeepers.
Maybe a coyote would take a look at it and say, I don't think so.
I saw it advertised and I thought to myself, you have got to be kidding me. You know what? Some people may swear by it, but you know the best tool that you can have to prevent conflicts with wildlife is your brain.
Is
just
what?
Use your brain.
Use
your brain. Common sense.
Well,
it really
common
is lacking.
Sense should be called something else because it's not very common. But anyway, I think we have to go to a break. So we're going to come back to the subject of wildlife and our pets and just animals that already live here.
There you go.
And then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Look for the bear necessities, the simple bear necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bear necessities are Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life.
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. You're listening to the Behavior Edition with Lori Fass and my guest today, Liz Bennett, who is a wildlife rehabilitator. And I wanted to invite her on because it's baby season, wildlife
Yay!
Are stirring, and there seem to be conflicts with people and wildlife and people's pets and wildlife. So I just want to talk a little bit about bear. And I'm going to tell you actually two things that people have told me. They're both kind of opposite. Okay.
Okay.
Somebody not on the air, but called me off the air and said that, and there's probably a couple of things you have to say about this, but this is me being this guy, okay?
Okay?
I let my dog run around in the woods and he'll come back an hour later and, you know, he's just being a dog and chasing things. And I don't really think it's a big deal if he runs into a bear because black bear are very docile. And so what? Is nothing's going to happen and there's no big deal. So we've got him. Then we've got somebody else who I know somebody who has somebody take their dog for a walk. Their dog is a really cool dog. He's a mastiff. They go on hikes. And if they see a bear, mm-hmm. if the guy who's taking the dog for mm-hmm. a walk and sees a bear, he will not only back up, but like circle an extra mile out of his way to stay mm-hmm. away from this bear.
Awesome.
Okay. So, you know, is he doing the right thing? Is that overkill? I mean, could you just kind of back up and just, you know, maybe go a couple hundred feet away and make a circle around the bear? Or is he better off taking a big circle? And what about this other guy who says, oh, they're docile, big deal.
The first guy with the docile bear. Yeah, black bears are more docile than grizzlies.
We don't have those in Connecticut, right?
But it still doesn't mean that you're not going to take them off and they're going to come at you.
Uh-huh.
It is illegal in the state of Connecticut to allow your pet, dog, whatever, to harass or chase wildlife.
Okay, now
we're talking bear, deer, squirrel, skunk, raccoons, whatever. It is illegal
yeah.
to allow your animal to chase these guys. That's illegal. So that's not even on it. That's out of the question.
Yeah, because then that brings
right.
up the topic. If I've had more than a few people, oh well, I let my dog loose.
Yeah, nope.
You know, they chase the deer. They're just having fun, mm-hmm. or they chase a this or that. It's no big deal.
Nope.
And you're saying
it is a big deal.
Okay, so
it's
illegal.
Is a big deal. It's illegal. But also in the case of deer, you can kill them by chasing them. Rabbits, you can kill them by chasing them
from stress,
just,
or they yes. injure themselves,
no,
or what happens?
Just by stress. It's called capture myopathy. They will become paralyzed in the back end and it will work itself up to their heart and they die. With rabbits, it can happen almost instantaneously. With deer, it can happen over a period of time. And therefore, you subject this animal to being tortured by other animals while it cannot move. So just that's basically why it's illegal, because it's extremely detrimental to the animal.
Well, I always knew that it wasn't a good idea.
It's stupid. Okay. Well, let's just go that way.
But
it's really not a smart move to do this. Besides that, the bear can turn around and whack your dog. With bear. Okay, so now we're talking about the bear. If your dog goes and chases a bear and the bear's got babies, that bear is going to do anything she can to save and protect her children, which means that she can turn around and basically swipe and kill your dog. If you are out in the woods and you encounter a bear, we always tell people to carry a bell with them when they're out in the woods, or carry those air horns. You know what I mean? Those little air horns.
And they have electric air horns
right,
now.
Right. Okay. Awesome. They do.
Yeah. Oh, battery geez. Operated.
So carry something around that announce your presence. If you have a dog and you're walking out in the woods, keep your dog on leash if you don't have proper recall for that dog. Because, if your dog happens to stumble upon a bear who has cubs, and you may not see the cubs. The cubs may be trailing behind at some point, or they may be up ahead of mom. Mom will do whatever it takes to protect her baby, her babies. If she, you know, we all, as mothers, we will all do that to protect our kids. It is illegal to let your dog harass wildlife. If you are walking in the woods and you happen to see a bear, stop. Assess the situation. If the bear is far enough ahead of you, let the bear go. Let it keep going. You just keep going. I'm just going to sit here and watch you. Awesome. If the bear is gone far enough away, you can continue. It's not a big deal. But always make your presence known. Take that bell. Ring that bell. Talk loud. Scream. Yell. Hey, bear, whatever. I'm right here.
But you're not necessarily doing that to try and scare the bear away.
No, you're basically letting the bear know you're there.
So if you run across a bear, the bear is like, say, 20 feet from you.
Oh, back up.
Okay, but back you're not going to like use a nautical horn to scare it or pepper spray.
Right. No, pepper spray, no, because most times, unfortunately, people are human. And with pepper spray, you are about half as, well, I'd say 50% of the time, you're going to spray yourself.
Uh-huh.
Versus the bear, or you're going to spray it and the wind's going to kick the spray back to you.
So, well, let's just say, hypothetically, that it didn't.
Okay.
And you sprayed the bear. Is the bear going to just automatically back off, or is this just going
probably
to make the bear, you think so, or they're going to get mad?
Well, you got a 50-50 chance on that one, don't you? 50-50. How fast can you run? How fast can you run? Honestly, again, you want to just announce your presence. These animals, okay, so we talk about bears, and every year, oh, jeepers, every year we get the, oh, I was attacked by a bear. If you were attacked by a bear, you wouldn't be walking out of the woods. If a bear actually attacked you, you would not walk out of the woods, at least not in your own volition. Bears at like a year old are dismissed from the family. Mom goes, okay, now you're on your own. They're very curious animals. Yearlings are very curious. Even babies are very curious. They want to know what you are. And these guys use their mouths to explore, just like human babies. So why, and this baffles me completely, why would you take your iPhone out and go, whoa, look at the bear, I want to take pictures? No, let's not take pictures, because now's not the time to do this. It is time to back off. If you come upon a bear and you are that close, back off. You are not going to have a happy ending if you go and annoy the bear, because you don't know what else is around there. You don't know if that's a yearling that has not been released from mom yet. So you don't know if mom's right around the corner. You don't know if that bear has babies. So they're not cuddly things. They're gorgeous. Bears are beautiful, but they're just wild animals. And as such, you need to respect that and back off. Make noise as you back off. Talk to the bear. Clap your hands. Do whatever. But back off so that that bear is not threatened by you or curious enough to come up and sniff you and maybe, you know, take
your
hand.
So don't try to make friends with the bear.
You don't need to make friends with the bear.
Don't try and be combative with the bear.
No, no. Respect the space.
Wasn't there
like the moose. Okay, the moose will come and charge at you. A moose will charge you. They're not these big docile things with big old antlers. They will charge you, and they will do damage.
And,
not Mr. Bullwinkle there.
Yeah.
They're wild animals. And that's what we keep forgetting, because we see these television programs. We see all this stuff with, you know, nature at its best and interacting and stuff like that. They're wild animals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, making a living, helping people sort out their domestic animal behaviors. I guess trying to sort out a wild animal in the middle of their own environment might be a little bit trickier.
You've just walked into their house and it's their house, not yours. And again, you just have to understand, yes, they're wild. And they will defend.
And in many instances, we're sharing space because there's so many developments everywhere.
Right.
And I don't think on the law talk show before, John Matulis was saying, if you don't want someone trespassing, you can go to Home Depot and it says posted, no trespassing. Well, I don't think animals read those signs.
Nope. Last I checked, no, they don't.
So that's not going to work for that. So, and I've seen a lot of animals going by that have been captured on those Ring doorbell things.
Yes.
So some interesting stuff there.
You can watch it from the safety of your own home. Awesome. You just, you know, you see these things in the Ring cameras. And isn't it really, really cool that we have all of these animals out there? But just because we have them out there doesn't mean you need to go try to play with them.
Right.
It's not going to have a happy ending.
And then, you know, we think that they're really scary or they're going to be cute and friendly.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of that is just not the case. And then that, the cute and friendly, you know, let's save them and just give them cuddle, waddle, boo, boo, kitty, whatever. With the babies, and it's baby season.
Yes.
And I think that... I think we should go to a break and then come back and talk about the babies.
Babies. Okay, so we'll talk babies next.
All right.
Oh, babies.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back.
The loveliest of all was the unicorn.
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. I don't think we'll have any unicorn questions.
No,
probably not. Well, we might. You never know. But I don't know if there's mental health talk. I don't think that's a show, but maybe we ought to have that. That could be good for the lineup. But anyway... So I am here today with Liz Bennett, who is doing wildlife rehabilitation and education.
Yep.
And we were talking about a lot of different things. And the one I'm saving for last is running across baby animals or injured animals. And then what are we going to do about it?
Yep.
And so there's some things to consider. The first of which is, if you see something really cute, what should you do?
Okay. So on my way in, I was standing, sitting at the traffic light, and there's this little baby chipmunk. And I swear, it was just so cute. And it was trying to get across the street. And I'm like, oh. So my heart just goes, oh, I got to go help it. I got to get out of my truck and go help it. My brain goes, would you please stop? Please stop. Just stop and look. So, of course, I listen to my brain because I'm at the red light. And I got a car next
to me. That's good, Liz.
there's a car next to me and I'm in traffic. I'm like, okay, fine. So I stopped and I observed and I watched what was going on. And the little guy eventually went over to the sidewalk, jumped up onto the curb and went under a bush. Everything was awesome. Okay. Problem is that when people see these baby wild animals, their heart goes, oh, God. I got to take it. I got to save it. I got to do it. And what happens is, especially with deer. So we're coming up on baby deer season. Baby deer are left by themselves because they don't have a smell. Their poop doesn't smell. Their pee doesn't smell. Nothing smells. And mom puts them there and says, sit, stay, and I'll be back. And when it's safe, I'll come back and feed you. Rabbits do the same thing. Rabbits will cover their babies. They'll cover their little nests. Rabbits make really lousy nests.
I've had rabbit nests in my yard multiple times.
Yep. And they cover them like with grasses and a little fur and stuff like that. And they come back maybe a couple of times a day and they nurse and then they're off and running again. So just because you've seen it doesn't mean it needs help. If you see it and you're curious, like, all right, so baby squirrels, people chop trees down all the time. Baby squirrels fall out of the nest. Okay, so now you're going traveling along. You see a couple of baby squirrels on the ground, maybe four or five. And they're pretty pink or, you know, they have some hair, but, you know, they don't look like their eyes are open. They look like they're really in trouble. Get a box. Put a hand warmer in the box kind of thing. Put some paper towels in. Put the babies in there and put it by the tree. Play on your iPhone. Play the little squirrely noises in distress. Wait. Leave it, wait, come back 24 hours later. If mom's still, you know, at some point, you know, you'd recheck it and stuff like that. But moms will come back. Moms are great with that. The only mom that really stinks is an opossum because she's got so many kids. They don't have really good eyesight. So they got this whole gang on the back. Right, they got their whole gang hanging out in the back of them, and they're not really sure how many they've got because, you know, if one falls off, whatever. If you're in question, you need to stop. Take an assessment. We always tell people, because when you call a wildlife rehabilitator, we're going to ask you certain questions. Where is it? What circumstances did you find it under? Is it in the middle of the street? Obviously, maybe you may have an issue.
Yeah, get it out of the street. Exactly. That might be a good idea.
But what are the circumstances? Describe it to me. Can you take pictures? Can you take a movie? Whatever. That way, you and the rehabber can determine. And believe it or not, we've had people telling, okay, I found this baby rabbit, and it turns out to be a baby skunk. Or something along those lines. I mean, even identification stuff is kind of weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, but one day I was outside and I had some cat food and I saw a cat across the street. And I said, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. And it started coming to me. And then when it got about, I don't know, maybe 15 feet away, it wasn't a cat. It was a skunk. I just to this day don't know why it was coming to hear kitty, kitty.
Because it says food. And you know what's really, well, you know, and here's the thing. Skunks don't see very well.
Well, apparently neither do I.
But they love the sound of the human voice.
Do they?
Believe it or not, a skunk likes the sound of human voice. So that's why he's probably coming to you going, hi, Lori. I heard about you. You're a nice person.
So if I really needed a new prescription, I would have been feeding. Oh, look
there
at my
kitty.
There
you go. You remember that commercial? Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Well, this is real. This is my life. Never mind a commercial.
Mine too. But anyway, so if you think it needs to be rescued, take a breath, step back, figure it out. If you need to talk to somebody about it, okay? And again, step back far enough so that you can observe it from far enough away so that if mom is in the area, mom can come and address
it. Well,
I think
sometimes when people see something that they think is cute, I think that, this is kind of a weird thing to say, but I think you're going to get what I'm saying. It's not even so much that they're really thinking, yes, this needs my help. This, yes, it needs my help is an excuse for them to fiddle around and play with something that, this is my opportunity to play with this very cute thing.
Unfortunately, it is illegal. It is illegal in the state, any state, to possess wild animals. It is illegal, and you can get yourself jammed up pretty bad. Now, if you obviously say, all right, so there's mom, there's babies, mom's not breathing, babies are there, I need to help these guys.
Right.
Okay, that's acceptable because you are taking custody of them, you're keeping them warm, you're putting them on a little heating pad, that kind of thing, and you are calling a wildlife rehabilitator.
Yeah.
So that you have the intent of turning these animals over to someone who is licensed, who can take care of them.
And then I understand that sometimes, you know, you had said, don't try to feed.
No, never.
Because I remember reading something about deer, that if you had to give them something, you could give unflavored Pedialyte.
Yeah.
But if you start giving other types of
milk or this or that. Even that. We tell people, just don't try it. Just don't try it. Because the first thing we have to, as a rehabber, you hand me over some babies, the first thing I have to do is warm them up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because
unless it's
an opossum, because their body temperatures are colder. And fun fact, opossums don't get rabies. There have been cases where they have, but 99.9% of the cases, they do not get it. And they also eat
lots of ticks.
They do. They eat lots of ticks, but they cannot get the rabies virus because their body will not support it because their body temperature is a lot lower than you would think.
Well, that's really interesting. I read that they don't get rabies, but I didn't know why.
Yeah, because
so
their body temperature
that
doesn't
for me.
So as a rehabber, the first thing I'm going to do is warm that animal up. A cold animal will not eat. A cold animal, if you try to give it liquids, even with an eyedropper, that kind of thing, you may end up killing the animal out of kindness because the animal may aspirate whatever liquid or whatever food you've put in them, and therefore they will get pneumonia and they will die. Bunny rabbits, especially because they are so prone to dying suddenly of the capture myopathy, you have to be very careful. So we tell people, if you are turning them over to a rehabber, and this is after you've spoken to the rehabber and you do know this animal is in danger, does need to be saved, keeping in mind it is illegal to keep them and try to do it yourself, You're going to put him in a box. It's going to be quiet. You're not going to play your stereo. You're not going to put your air conditioner on. You're not going to do anything like that. Just put it in a box, close the box up so it's nice and quiet, nice and dark in there. And you call either your animal control officer, who can get you in touch with a wildlife rehabilitator, because they have we have a Facebook page for animal control officers to connect with wildlife rehabilitators. You can call DEEP, and they will give you a list of rehabbers.
And I think I mentioned that on my website,
yep,
LoriFastDogTraining.com, on my links page,
yep,
I have a link to wildlife rehabilitators.
Yep. You can contact them. You can contact Lori Fast. She has a page. And it's awesome. And, or you can go onto the DEEP website and look up wildlife rehabilitators.
Yeah.
You can call during the day. You can call any nature center, and they will have somebody either on hand or they will know somebody who can help out.
So nature centers like?
Like Roaring Brook Nature Center, Sharon Audubon Center. I don't know the ones out east side. So, you know, just
whatever.
But you
can just Google search nature centers.
Nature centers in your area.
Yeah.
Forest Park Zoo up in Springfield. But there you go. But, yeah, there's a whole bunch of people out there right now. Even though we're all crazy busy with babies, we're all willing to help.
Uh-huh.
And certain animals, people will tell me, like with little baby birds. Oh, the baby bird has all these feathers, but he doesn't have a tail. Okay, that and he's on the ground. Every time I try to put him back up in the tree, flies to the ground. Okay, so that's a fledgling. That's a juvenile bird that doesn't have a tail. He's been kicked out of the nest. It's okay. Just put him in a bush and he'll be fine. Most times, animals are taken in that don't need to be taken in.
And then once you have them for a while, now
right,
you're messing them up. You might physically
right,
injure them
right,
through aspiration, like what you were saying,
yeah, right,
or separate them for long enough. Now,
right,
now we've got a problem.
Right. You have up to 48 hours to do a reuniting. 24 hours. In other words, if you find baby squirrels and we tell you how to try to do a reuniting and it gets to be dark and mom still hasn't come back, you take them back in. Do not feed them. Do not water them. Do not whatever, because you still have 24 hours. In the morning, you put the thing back out, and mom, again, you play your distress call and back off. If you're not back far enough, mom's not going to come by.
Mm-hmm.
So you have options available. Don't panic. If you see something, don't panic. Don't
well, like
feel
you said,
like
you
need
saw
to,
the little baby
oh,
chipmunk.
Oh, I know. And it's even hard for us. Oh, man.
So you knew in your head,
right,
I better leave this little creature
right,
alone.
Right.
But if you didn't have that information or if you,
you
didn't already know that,
oh, I'd be
you
on
gone
that
out,
thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I think people do that a lot. I
oh,
think
yeah,
that happens a lot.
That's human nature. We see something, little helpless creature, and we want to go help it. And that's awesome. And I love that fact that people want to do that. But you have to understand that that may not be the best move.
Yeah.
So call somebody who can talk you through it.
Well,
call
I mean,
somebody that knows it.
Wild creatures do a lot of things that, you know,
they land in the weirdest
so
spots,
dumb
too.
Things I'm embarrassed to even say. In Newington Center, there
yeah,
were these little yellow birds. They looked like the finches you buy in the
ooh,
pet
yeah,
store.
Yep.
I thought they were somebody's pet birds. I was freaking out. And then I
said,
oh my
done
God,
that,
somebody's freaking out.
I've done that.
And then I realized, wait a minute. And then I looked
yep,
up, they're wild
yep,
finches, Lori,
yep,
calm down.
I tried with a net. As an animal control officer, we have all kinds of crazy things, but I tried with a net to grab these baby birds. They were wild. I was like,
yeah,
oh, oops.
Well, I think that music means we're running out of time.
Okay.
I'm so happy you came to talk
thank
about wildlife
you,
today, and I hope people learned something, and I'd love to have you back again some, you know, maybe sooner than 2 years.
Really, yeah, not 2 years from now.
And that's about it. And next week's edition of Pet Talk will be Dr. Dennis. So
awesome.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you
Liz,
so much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.